to John 8:31. So, whenever a Christian leaves, he always says, "Just do whatever you want." And you know, it's so interesting that when you have freedom to do whatever you want, it's more difficult than when you're restricted to one or two things. So, I mean, I had the whole Bible to think about. Okay, what am I gonna say, or how can I encourage us, or us and the people online? What should I say? And this verse came to mind for the reasons that will be made obvious as we go along. But this is John 8:31. I titled it "A True Disciple." Probably if you know the verse, you know why. Let me just read it and see what we can say about it. So this is John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." I'll read it again. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." So I have, initially I had four, but there's five in the end. I have five questions that come out of this verse. And that's what we're going to talk about, and that's going to be the end of it with number five. So question number one is, what does it mean to truly be Jesus' disciple, right? He said, "You are truly my disciples." What does that mean? Then number two, what is Jesus referring to when he says, "My word"? Number three, what does it mean to be in that word? Number four, what does it mean to abide in the word? And finally, number five, what's the relationship between abiding in this word and being a true disciple? Right? Kind of a logical, short, small puzzle. So let's see. Number one. Oh, wow, that's small. What does it mean to truly be Jesus' disciple? So he said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple," or my disciples. Now, what this implies is that there are true disciples and disciples who are less true. Right? The word "truly" means really, right? You're really my disciples if you abide in my word. Which means there's real disciples or less real disciples. Authentic, inauthentic. Outward, surface level disciples, and down to the root disciples. Heartfelt. So, usually, if you don't look at this verse, we think, well, the world is filled with Christians and non-Christians. Jesus is not making that distinction. He says, no, there's Christians or true disciples, real disciples, authentic disciples, inauthentic, not necessarily unreal, but close, unreal disciples, and people who don't care about Christ. There's three distinctions that he makes. People who follow, people who say they follow but don't, and people who don't follow. Now, the more important question is not, what does it mean to be a true disciple? The more important question is, why does Jesus bring this up? Why is he bringing this up? Why is he even talking about true disciples? Why is he making the distinction? Well, he brings it up because of verse 30, which I don't have there. Verse 30, the verse just before this one, goes like this. Even as he spoke, he was teaching, even as he spoke, many believed in him. In if you know the whole chapter and then the previous situations in which Jesus was teaching big crowds, when he started saying difficult things, people stopped following, stopped believing, right? Which means this crowd is filled with people who believed his teaching, but did not internalize it. So, why is that? Usually when there's a crowd somewhere, it's easy to blend in. It's easy to go with the flow. It's easy to get lost in 5,000 people who hear a message and not necessarily believe yourself, but just kind of, it sounds okay, but let's just see, and you go along, right? So Jesus wants the real people in the crowd. He wants the real followers, those who actually believed what he said, not just, I'm here because my friends are here, right? That's not Christianity. So Jesus doesn't assume that all of this is real faith. Let me read to you some of the responses in the chapter that Jesus gets. There's a dialogue, right? So just so you get how, so you get the heart of these people who actually, well, it says they believed. Just so you see what kind of a belief they have. So Jesus talks about where they come from. They say, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? This is verse 33. Then, verse 39, they say, Abraham is our father. Then, we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. 48. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and a demon possessed? So this is not the vocabulary of somebody who believes and follows Christ. And it builds up to more and more into a dispute. 52. Now we know that you are demon possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Right? This is open dispute. They're not resting on who Jesus is. Their belief is a surface kind of belief. This is not actual belief in the Son of God, right? So that's the flavor, that's the gist of who these people are. So Jesus wants the real disciples in the crowd. And what becomes more and more clear is what John said in chapter 20, 31. He said, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So when we read the Gospel of John, it's not just for unbelievers. I got saved by reading the Gospel of John. But the book is written for Christians. And the book is written for non-Christians. And the book is written for those who are unreal disciples or inauthentic disciples. So it's extremely important to understand that when we read the Gospel of John, if we could be part of any of these three groups, then the Gospel of John should talk to us personally. This is a test, daily test for us. Now, but what is a true disciple? What does Jesus mean by saying you are truly my disciples? My disciples. For Jesus, true disciple doesn't mean I got saved 2007, by reading the Gospel of John. 10 years go past, and then I attain the level of true disciple. It's not a shift. It's not a next level. It's not a follow this course, get a diploma, and then you're a true disciple. True disciple means you heard me teach, you heard me say who I am, you believed, and you are saved, which means you're a true disciple. It's not a later stage in the life of a Christian, it's an instantaneous thing. And why do I believe that? It's because of verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. Some in the crowd actually believed, right? Which means they were already true disciples. Because he didn't say, if you abide in my word, you will become true disciples. He said, you are. So true disciple means true believer. And what does a true believer or a true disciple look like? Who is he? What defines him? A true disciple is one whose sins are forgiven, from whom the wrath of God is lifted. He has eternal life. He's the sheep of Jesus. He's a true follower. He's no longer a slave. It's one who no longer seeks. It's one who takes comfort. One who rests on who Jesus is. You know, there's that verse in the Psalms, taste and see how good the Lord is. We are the people who have tasted and have remained because it was good. That's what a true disciple is. We don't dispute with Jesus about what he's teaching. We rest on his teaching. And we do that every day. Number two, what is Jesus referring to by the phrase, my word? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Interesting enough, it's not plural. Jesus is not saying, if you abide in my words, which should help us conclude that he's referring to the sum of the things that he was teaching, not to a specific teaching. And so I could keep the answer short and just leave it at that and go to number three. But probably Jesus would not agree with that. And then I will ask you, what do you think the sum of Jesus' words is? What did he talk mostly about? Salvation, sin, the Father, the Spirit. No, he talked about himself. The Gospel of John is filled with statements and teachings about himself. Things like, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am not of this world. I am the good shepherd. I am in the Father. I am the resurrection and the life. Right? He's not referring to one specific thing. He's referring to the sum of his teaching, which is himself. He is the sum of Jesus' own teaching. So when he says, if you abide in my word, he's talking about the word that has himself as center and focus. Everything he taught was pointing towards him. So to answer the question, what is Jesus referring to when he says, my word? The phrase, my word, refers to the sum of Jesus' teaching, which is summed up in himself. Number three. What does it mean to be in the word? He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now, imagination game. So you have to imagine a magnetic field, right? The Bible at the center, the word, the teaching, Jesus is teaching with himself at the center, and there's a magnetic field around it. When you are in his word, as he says, where we are in his word, in his teaching, we're caught up in that field, that magnetic field, and it's drawing us closer and closer to the center, which is Jesus himself, right? We're in the power of his word. Now, what creates that magnetic field? Why is it attractive? Attractive is a good word here because it attracts us towards Jesus, who is at the center of his own teaching. Why is it magnetic? Why does it draw us to the center? First of all, it's because of the truth contained in the word. The Spirit, together with the word, reveals to us the truth about Jesus' teaching. Number two, the beauty of the word, the moral and the spiritual beauty. Number three, the peace and the hope that we find in the word of God and in the teaching of Jesus. Then we find the bread of heaven by which we're nourished daily. You cannot find a real Christian that does not eat of the bread of life, right? It's hard to be a Christian, probably impossible, without the Word of God that nourishes. Then, the living water of the Word that's refreshing for those of us and for those disciples who thirst for more of Jesus. This is, by the way, this is psalm language. Lord, I thirst for you. I long for you. I hunger for you, right? Then, the light of the world, of the word, by which we are being illumined, and by which we are guided throughout life. So these are the things that make the word and Jesus' teaching attractive. It creates that magnetic field, if you will. So to put it more practically, this is beautiful, let's say, but it's not practical. To put it more practically, to be in the power of that magnetic field that is Jesus' teaching with himself at the center is to live a new life, is to have a new life. There's no true disciple of Jesus that does not have a new life. A life that is guided, nourished, refreshed, full of hope and peace. A life lived in truth and in the moral beauty of his word. That's what a true disciple means, to have a new life. I always think of Lee when I talk about stuff like this because he told us this story about his colleague that he was working with. And the colleague knew he was a Christian. And he kept on saying, like, because Lee was pushing him a bit, like, so what do you think about Jesus and so on? And he kept on saying, I will never forget that. The colleague kept on saying, well, I'm not finished with looking at your life. You know, when we profess that we love Jesus and we profess that we are Christians, our life says something or speaks out loud without us even knowing. It's very interesting. So a true disciple has a new life marked by Jesus' word. A disciple's life is lived in the word of Jesus. Number four, what does it mean to abide in his word? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. I mean, simply put, the word abide means remain, stay, right? You heard something, you tasted, it was good, then stay there. Like, don't go to a different magnetic field, something else that might be attractive, right? Just stay here. To abide in Jesus' word means don't stop being convinced and persuaded by the truth of the word. Don't stop being attracted by its beauty, moral beauty. Don't stop resting in the peace and the hope that you find in the Word of God and in His teaching. It means don't stop eating and drinking or being nourished and refreshed by the Word. And it means don't stop being guided by the light of that Word. Remain in that light. Remain there at the table and eat and drink. Remain in the hope and the peace that you find. Remain and be attracted by that beauty that you found and the taste, sweet like honey, like in the Psalms. And finally, the fact that Jesus puts the emphasis on this word, on abiding or remaining, it literally gives us the answer of what the relationship is between abiding in the Word and being His disciples. I wonder if you could make the, if you would come up and finish the sermon, what would you say? This is another test, if you're paying attention or not. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, Jesus says. He's saying that the mark of a true disciple is lasting, enduring, persevering, and keeping in the magnetic field of his word. Every single day. Right? If we go on holiday, we don't go on holiday away from being a true disciple. Right? If we go on to the beach or go to the mountainside or go and visit different countries or whatever, we go as disciples of Jesus, not people who took a break from that. A true Christian is not a temporary taster. It's like when you go to Bilka, my kids love this, when we go to Bilka and there's this lady who makes either very small sandwiches and gives like, what do you call them? Whatever you said. Or she gives out small bowls of soup, frozen soup that is like really, really good. And then you taste and like, and then you leave. You're not abiding there, right? Bad comparison, that doesn't matter. But we don't taste and leave, right? It's so interesting because, like, why? Some people who are not believers, who are not Christians, who don't have the Holy Spirit, they don't really understand different things. And one of them is like, why do you keep on reading the Bible on and on and on and on? There's other books. It's not about that. It's not you read it once and that's it. It's about being, as I said, nourished, refreshed, guided. There's a beauty in the Word of God that feeds this identity of a disciple. The mark of a true Christian is that we taste and we stay there at the source. We abide in the magnetic field. Bad choice of word, magnetic field. But a true disciple would say together with Peter, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Right? That's what a true disciple is. And I believe that the more we understand that, the more real it will be in our lives, I would say. So let me shortly pray and we'll conclude. Father, we want to thank you, first of all, for the Spirit that gave us eyes to see who Jesus is and who we are in the light of who He is. Thank you for making us understand at one point in our lives that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Thank you for the gospel that feeds us and constantly reminds us why we need you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we can actually express with our mouth the fact that we love you. Thank you for the reality of that feeling that we can actually love you, Lord. Help us be wherever we are this summer. Help us be true disciples. Help us taste every day and stay in what we taste, namely the Word of God. Make it nourish us and refresh us and guide us. Help us fall in love with it again and again and again. Help us spend much time in your presence, Lord Jesus. Because as you said, if we do, we will learn from you. Because you are gentle and kind. We want to be like you, Lord Jesus. We want to follow you and we want to be like you in the world. We want to be gentle and kind, and we want to be a mirror of who you are. Help us do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.